Over the last couple of weeks, we've been looking at the fruits of the Spirit, the evil fruits that some of us have produced, the good fruits that we have produced. The purpose of the lesson is to help each one of us to grow. We are branches in the Lord's vine. We need to be bearing much fruit. How much thought? How much thought have we given to bearing fruit? How much fruit have we borne? What kind of fruit would we think that we are going to be bringing to the Lord? These are crucial questions. As Peter pointed out in 2 Peter chapter 1, if you're doing these things, you won't be barren or unfruitful. So the concept of growing plants and planting, reaping, sowing, these are things that in most cultures are everyday tasks. We've kind of moved away from that. Most of us do not work in the field. Most of us probably would not know very much about when to plant, how deep to plant the seeds, how far apart to plant the seeds. These are things that are fixed, but because they're not important to you and I, many of us wouldn't know when to plant various plants. So, and does that matter? Well, probably not. But it does in the spiritual realm. So in the material realm, and I'm just going to throw these up real quickly because this is God's order. You see the seed, you get the plant. You plant this seed, you get this plant. You plant a pumpkin seed, you get a pumpkin. You plant an oak tree, you plant an oak acorn, you get an oak tree. If you plant corn or tomatoes or almonds there. And so we understand that. We understand, although if somebody were to ask you, how do you plant an almond tree? How far apart should they be? How would you go about, how deep should you put them if you're going to plant an almond? Most of us wouldn't know, but it doesn't matter because someone else is taking care of that for us. But in the spiritual realm, it really matters because no one else but you is sowing. We are either sowing to the flesh or we are sowing to the Spirit. Do we know? Do we know the difference? Do we understand? Most people in this world do not understand this concept. They don't understand that every time you do something that's evil, you are planting a plant that is going to produce fruit, and that when you read the scriptures and you try to apply what the Holy Spirit has taught to bring about a different outcome, then we're sowing to the Spirit. So when the scripture says God is not mocked, whatever a man sows, that he will also reap, we need to understand what we're doing. When you're watching a television program, you might be sowing to the flesh. When you are reading a news article, you could be sowing to the flesh. We have to know when we're planting a seed. Because in verse 8, he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. Now, many of you are probably thinking, well, I understand that. But do we understand it with our specific lusts? The things that cause us to commit sin. Do we understand where we could stop the process and not produce the fruit? Because, once again, you can't change or undo it. Once it is sown, whether it's a spiritual, a moral, a doctrinal seed, it's going to produce after its kind. So if I'm baptized into a Mormon church, a Catholic church, a Presbyterian church, the fruit is going to be different. And so when I'm looking at the truth, I need to understand, and we all do, but this is so important because most of us still have some fruit in our life that shouldn't be there, and maybe we haven't recognized it yet. And that's what this sermon is kind of designed to accomplish for us. Because sowing to the flesh is pretty well outlined right here. Each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Now, at that point, there's no seed. At that point, there's no fruit. At that point, it's in its germen, or excuse me, it's not even created as a seed yet. But then in verse 15, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. So when the Holy Spirit reveals to us what should be obvious but sometimes isn't, but the works of the flesh are obvious, they're evident, they're clear, and then he starts listing them. Adultery. Fornication. But you remember what Jesus said? You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you that if you look at a woman to lust after her, you've already committed adultery. So the sowing of the seed is much more complicated than the actual act. And that's why he puts uncleanness and lewdness in here. Because these are degrees of sin. Adultery is the worst of sin that brings death. Fornication is still a wicked act, but not to the degree of adultery where you're breaking vows to God. Then we move to the uncleanness and the lewdness, which most people in our culture don't even see as being wrong. Looking at pictures that shouldn't be looked at, reading material that shouldn't be read. Most people don't repent of that because they don't see it as having sown a seed that is sin. But as God's people, we have to learn exactly where the line is. And the same thing with the others. Idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I told you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past. Those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now, we know this verse. We probably quote it. But have we made the application to us? Where are our seeds? Now, I'm going to come back to this verse in a moment. I just wanted to introduce it at this point. But the corruption that we first sow and then we reap is seen in these verses. Where do fights, wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? Beloved, I beg you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members. So Paul sees in verse 22 the fruits of the Spirit in the inner man and delights in that, but he also sees another law in my members warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. Now, the reason I bring these verses up, because remember what? God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man shall sow, that will he also reap. He who sows to the flesh will reap corruption. This is the corruption. This is the issue when I find in my personal life wars and fights, pleasures that are warring in my members, fleshly lusts that are warring against my soul, evil present with me, wanting to do good. So here I am, a plant. On this side of my plant, I'm producing fruit that leads to corruption, that leads to wars and battles and struggles and sin. On the other side, I have another battle, and that is the Holy Spirit trying to take control and conquer these things. So Galatians 5 talks about the kinds of seeds, just like we have an apple tree and we have a pear tree and we have a and then there's varieties of apples, varieties of pears, varieties of almonds, varieties of every type of plant. The same thing is true with the lusts. Now, some people don't have any problem at all with these things. And I'm sure there's several or maybe many in this congregation who can read this part of the verse and say, that wasn't written for me because I've never sown and I've never had a problem with any of these things. And so if that's the case, then we already have the fruits of the Spirit because we're already doing exactly what God wants us to do. The problem is for those who have sown these things. And that's where the battle comes. And so what God wants us to do, here's how the fruits of the Spirit are going to be created. For this is the will of God, your sanctification. That you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Now that's the fruit of the Spirit. And Paul writes to the Corinthians, he says, such were some of you. You were fornicators, you were adulterers, you were homosexuals. You had these fruits in your life, but you were washed, you were sanctified, you were cleansed. But then the battle begins because those things want to come back. That's the war that Paul described. And so what is God's plan? My sanctification. We need to learn how to possess our vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, when I can do that, I have the fruit of the Spirit. Until I can do that, the fruit of the Spirit is not yet as formed or as fixed as it should be, and we are still sowing to the flesh, and we could still reap corruption. Verse 6, that no one should take advantage of or defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is an avenger of all such, as we forewarned and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God who has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, that's the fruit of the Spirit. The battle commences when the Holy Spirit comes into our life. Before the Holy Spirit comes, we pretty much do whatever we want, just like the judges. Everyone did right in his own eyes. But after we become a Christian and the Holy Spirit starts revealing these things to us, there's going to be a gap as we plant the seed and we see what's being sown. And this is the point that each one of us needs to recognize. Where do I need to focus my energy? Where do I need to plant something that's not there yet? And as we continue, we have idolatry and sorcery, which God deals with. You shall not go after other gods, the gods of the peoples who are around you, for the Lord your God is a jealous God among you. Now, we're really blessed because America doesn't have this problem. America has a problem with a different kind of idolatry where you worship and serve the creation rather than the Creator. We don't have an idol to bow down to, but many people focus on this material creation. So we need to recognize something, and that is, if we're not seeking first His kingdom and His righteousness, if we are not honoring God as the absolute Creator and sustainer of our life, we might have seeds. Here's how Jesus puts it. No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And then a covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Now, as I said a moment ago, we don't have a problem with many of these things. And if we've never had a problem with them, then the fruit of the Spirit's already there. And we don't have to focus on that. We focus on the specific needs that we have. And that's where all of our energy and all of our efforts need to be put forth. Covetousness, which is idolatry. So I go home and I look at my finances. I go through my finances and I see where my priorities are, and then I determine whether this is a fruit that I need to be concerned with or not. Then there's the other side. Hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder. So here's another entire, an entire section of fruit. We have sexual fruit, we have spiritual fruit, and now we have the fruits of violence. And brethren, when you watch television, you can see all of these things: hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions. It's all there because this is the world and this is how the world functions. And so we need to understand that we can't go there. You've heard that it was said, "You shall not murder." But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. So are we angry with anyone? 6 months ago, a year ago, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, my relationship with this person shifted. I don't like him anymore. I don't want to be around him. Wouldn't bother me if something bad happened to them. That's what an enemy is. Jesus said we should love our enemies. That's a fruit that I can't have and you can't have in your life. If we have the works of the flesh, then we are manifesting that those lusts are still working, seeds are still being formed, and problems are still there. Now, I don't want to go before God, and you don't want to go before God with any of those things in our lives. And that's why we keep searching, we keep studying, we keep digging, we keep assessing. Because as Jesus points out, if you're angry with a brother, you're in danger of the judgment. And if you call your brother names or if you look down upon him with derision. So the works of the flesh are obvious, is how Paul puts it, once the Holy Spirit is working in our lives. So drunkenness, revelries, and the like, now we have the realm of sobriety. Now, as I said, as you look at these things, maybe I don't have any problems with the sexual or the spiritual. Maybe my problems are in violence. Maybe my problems are in sobriety. Maybe my problems are elsewhere. So when we sow to the flesh, when we bring forth evil fruits, when our life is not what it ought to be, we have an understanding. We have a recognition of something. And so Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. When's the last time you girded up the loins of your mind? You sat down and said to yourself, I'm going to go through the scriptures until I figure this out. I'm going to try to understand what's causing this. What's the solution? Go through the works, go through the things we add to our faith. Is it a problem of virtue? Do I not want it bad enough? Am I not interested enough to get working on it? Is it a problem of knowledge? Don't know. Self-control? I know, but I'm not able to do. Perseverance? Staying on with it? Godliness? Brotherly kindness? And love? Gird up the loins of your mind. God wants to see that. He wants to see you and I truly out there weeding our garden. Truly out there planting the seeds of the Spirit. Working and struggling so that the fruits that we are producing. You remember Jesus in the vine and the branches. Whoever does not bear fruit is cut down. It is cut down and cast into the fire. But whoever is bearing fruit, God will prune. So what does God see in our life? Does he see us as a Christian who is very focused on the first day of the week, but the rest of the week, we kind of go back to the kind of person we've always been, the kind of person that we naturally are, and we haven't made strides. I mean, go back and look at yourself before you became a Christian. Look at yourself after you've become a Christian. What do you see? Not globally, but specifically, if I have a problem, am I seeing any growth and development? Am I seeing different fruits that are being produced? God is intensely interested in this. You know, it's no different in the material realm. If I plant a crop and I don't get a harvest, I'm going to go back and try to figure out what went wrong here. Was it fertilizer? Was it the seed? Did I not sow the ground properly? Did I not weed? Did I not water? Where's the problem? I can't solve it. I will have the same problem next year as I did this year if I don't figure out what's going on. Now, God wants us to do that in the spiritual realm. I guess part of our problem is, since we don't have any agricultural interests, most of us don't even have a garden. We really just go to the grocery store and we pick up the fruits. So we can't really relate to the parable here because it's not a part of our life. Now, those of us who have an agricultural background, we understand exactly what's being discussed here. So when he says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He said, what has that got to do with the lust of the flesh and the fruits of the spirit? Well, everything. Devil works through the lust of the flesh. And so we need to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. So there's two sides to Galatians chapter 5. You know, I had a problem with my computer today. It lost about half of my sermon. So we're going to have to turn over to Galatians chapter 5 to kind of wind down some of the things that I wanted to talk about. So in Galatians, the 5th chapter, starting in verse 16, Paul discusses the nature of what we're trying to get across in this lesson. So looking at chapter 5, and let's start in verse 16. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So if I'm fulfilling the lust of the flesh, what does that mean? It means I'm not walking in the Spirit. If I'm not fulfilling the lust of the flesh, what does that mean? It means I'm walking in the Spirit. So there's two conflicting things here, two kinds of fruits that are going to result from it. One is walking in the Spirit and not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Verse 17, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So as we look at this verse, and we look at our life, and like Paul, we say, I delight in the law of God, I delight in the Holy Spirit, in the inner man, but I see a different law in my flesh, warring against my mind. Well, that's exactly what he's talking about here. The flesh is lusting against the Spirit. They both have to use the same body. And so the flesh wants to use the body to produce the fruits of adultery and fornication, of drunkenness, of violence, of worshiping and serving the creature rather than the Creator. And the Holy Spirit, on the other side, is telling us, no, you want love and joy and peace and kindness and goodness and self-control. And here I am deciding who's going to have control. Flesh lusting against the Spirit. Spirit lusting against the flesh. But be not deceived. Whatever you sow, you're going to reap. So verse 18, if you are led by the Spirit, if you are guided by the Spirit, and then verses 18 through 21 and 22 through 23 describe the two kinds of fruit. Now, I may not understand the sowing, but I can understand the fruit. And I can see whether these things are in my life or not, and you can see whether these things are in your life or not. So I'm going to skip this because, whoops, boy, I did run out. All right, let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. I'm just going to wind this down. I had some real nice slides, and they... Where does it go when it's not in your computer anymore? Not only did I lose everything this morning, my whole hard drive is wiped. Everything went away. It's about the sixth time it's happened to me. It is not fun. All right, so let's turn over to Romans chapter. Sorry I'm whining, guys. I just... All right, so in Romans chapter 7, and we've already looked at this one passage, but let's look at verse 19. The good that I will to do, I don't do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, clearly, this isn't Paul after he becomes a Christian. This is Paul before he becomes a Christian. But after you become a Christian, these things are still there. And the control has to be determined by the decisions that I make. So he goes on to say in verse 6 of chapter 8, to be carnally minded or fleshly minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the fleshly mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. So what's Paul's point here? Paul's point is very simple. If I've got anger, if I've got sexual desire, if I have greed, if I'm a violent person, then the Holy Spirit is trying to wrest the control from the flesh to the inner man. And I know where I am, and you know where you are by the fruits that are in your life right now. If we're struggling with these things, then the Holy Spirit has not yet taken the seat or the control. And what's the problem? Well, like I said, go back to 2 Peter 1. Is this a virtue problem? Am I just not motivated? Am I not really motivated to cut it off? To pluck it out? To enter into heaven without a hand or without a foot rather than to be cast into hell? Is this a virtue problem? I just don't have enough desire? I'm not interested enough? Is this a knowledge problem? I don't know what to do. If you don't know what to do, ask somebody. Confess your sins one for another. Pray one for another. Seek counsel. Seek advice. If it's not a knowledge problem, but a self-control problem, now we have an entirely different area that we need to focus on. We see the fruits, and if we were a farmer, we would start looking. Is this a water problem, a fertilizer problem, seed problem, soil problem, weather problem? What do I need to do? We need to do the same thing in the spiritual realm. There are fruits of the Spirit. There are evil fruits and good fruits. And as a Christian who wants to go to heaven, this is our battle. This is our inner battle. This is the war that Paul talked about, that James talked about, the war for the mind that Peter talked about. And each one of us is fighting that war. Some of us can see some wonderful fruits being produced through the years because we're adding to our faith, virtue, and knowledge, and self-control, and perseverance, and we're seeing the fruits of the Spirit beginning to be produced, and we're seeing the works of the flesh being crushed down and removed one by one. So as a Christian, the fruits in my life, I need to be monitoring that. We need to be monitoring that. Because if we're sowing to the flesh, we're gonna reap corruption. Jesus says a good tree cannot produce bad fruit. You can't go before God on the judgment day and say, Lord, I was a faithful Christian, when you still have all these fruits in your life that you haven't, or we haven't yet, worked to remove. So as we conclude this lesson, it's up to each one of us to sow to the Spirit or the flesh, to produce fruits of the Spirit, works of the flesh. We can do it. And God has given us the power to do it. And so as we open up our songbook now and we consider the lesson and how it made us feel, If it made us comfortable, if it made us feel good about ourselves, if it showed us how far we've grown and how far we've developed, great. But if it's manifested something in our lives that shouldn't be there, it needs to be removed, either by repentance at home, confession to God, or repentance here and confession one to another. If we can help you in any way, we invite you to come while we together stand and sing.